We're here in Troy, New York, overlooking the beautiful Hudson River, and we've been meeting this weekend to do a retrospective look at some films that Indie Media Collective members have made, and to talk about where do we go from here, how to, you know, recognize our successes and challenges and continue to collaborate and build the future of indie media. It's hard for me to remember exactly where I first heard about indie media, but I remember the general time frame. I used to live in Pittsburgh, and around the start of the Iraq War, I started to feel a real urgent sense of curiosity about the media landscape and about people organizing against repressive politics, etc. So I just probably saw a poster somewhere in a coffee shop about indie media. I think that might be how I first became aware of it, honestly.
So I got started with indie media in 2002 when there was a small group of us that started Rochester Indie Media. We were interested in addressing some of the really horrifying things that were happening with media after 9/11. There was this total collapse of critical reporting.
I only really got involved with indie media over the summer. I had been involved in community radio and like student media and student journalism a lot. I was like, this is kind of bullshit in some ways. The arbitrary standards of objectivity we hold ourselves to. So I was really excited to move into a realm that at least has the possibility for like much more personal and honest storytelling and journalism.
I had read a paper in college regarding the shrinking sphere of public space versus enlarging corporate or state space. And so they mentioned indie media in Seattle and the start of it then, and I was intrigued, very intrigued.
I'm one of the people who helped to start indie media back 10 years ago, and I'm really happy to see that it's grown so much and become so important. I wrote a grant, and we got $5,000, which was the first money that indie media ever had. So, and with that, and then Chris Burnett, who used to be my student at UCSD, tweaked some software that Matthew Arneson had brought from Catalyst Media in Australia, New Zealand.
I was following it from home, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. You can post your own news items, and you can comment, and you get information right away. Things that are pretty commonplace now. It's probably hard for people who got involved in the web later to realize how really amazing it was that we could do that. And so I wanted to have that here in the capital region of New York. I thought, you know, every community should have that. That's the logical extension of the direction that community media has been going for, you know, ever. What I'm seeing is that indie media as an organization, as a social group, is shifting. And what it means to be an indie media affiliate is different than what it meant 10 years ago.
My experience from Boston in like 2004 to now in 2009 has been one of sort of shifting from really activist-y, like centered issues all the way to Rochester, where it feels much more like the spirit of the thing, much more community-driven, much more community-based, community activists, community organizers coming together and using it as a tool to make change where they are, and less so about this alert device about rioting or police or something, but much more about actually telling a story that's not told.
People are expanding from just the web and really building communities around physical space and organizing communities and kind of creating culture that we want to support, rather than just being against something, we're for something, you know?
When we first knew about the meetings in Seattle, we realized that we needed a space. So it was actually started as a physical space. The website and the kind of media connections were secondary.
I want to keep focusing on this local organizing, like person-to-person kind of face-to-face things that are happening that then are reflected in on the internet and stuff. Like, so the Flying Squirrel community space, and there's the media sanctuary, and then there's Stone Soup, we just keep hearing about more and more projects like this, which are indie media activists that really realize the importance of setting up open spaces for resources and things like this for people to create their own media and activists to organize, and how crucial that is. So I see that as a really positive development.
At the Sanctuary for Independent Media, we are a telecommunications media facility that has events, that hosts community actions. We do arts and education workshops. We have studios in the basement. We can do three-camera shoots now. We have a lab. And we have a lot of diverse people coming in and out all the time. And we hope it's a model that plants a seed for other spaces like it. At the bottom line, we stand for peace and justice, and we're not willing to compromise because of trying to keep up with the status quo or because of fear. And so we try to deal with all the issues that there's nowhere else to go to deal with them.
I don't know what the future is. I think, you know, part of the problem that indie media has now is the fact that the technology isn't this, you know, crazy new innovative thing. Every website has similar kind of technological capability as indie media. So it's not being driven by the technology anymore, if it ever was. It's got to be driven by social movements. And really, when you think about it, that's what the original site was. It wasn't a technological innovation as much as an incredible gathering of, you know, some of the most talented people in the world who were activists and very smart and dedicated. And I think that for indie media to survive, that's what's got to have to, that has to continue.
Indie medias are great in crisis mode. They're great in getting the story out quickly about demonstrations and actions that challenge state power, or when state power cracks down on oppositional movements. But how has it changed over time? I think that, like, those quick actions come and go, and then you're left with people choosing whether to take this role seriously and organize around being alternative media makers and redefining journalism to be more participatory and provide people with tools to tell their own stories and things like this, and not a lot of indie media stuck around, actually.
In many cases, there's a disconnect between people of my generation who would be interested in indie media but aren't because of expectations they have about it or stereotypes they hear. And I think indie media really needs to improve its outreach.
If it could be, in some way, as simple as Facebook or Twitter, you know, I mean, if we could figure out that way and then add the consciousness to everyone that this is a place where we can really network our communities, I think it's a moment right now.
Because the media landscape is shifting so much right now, I think we have a great possibility to take on a much larger role in communities, at the same time kind of reforming the media landscape, where there are gaping holes in local coverage as newspapers fold and radio stations cut back and TV stations have just always been shitty, but are kind of reaching new lows of sensationalism. There's a big opportunity for indie media.
We've sort of gotten a good workflow going. We're able to get video out quickly when things happen. A recent example is the October 7th stuff. We didn't plan very much for it, but instinctually we knew that we needed to be there covering it. And there were three or four of us that we were able to spontaneously pass the camera back and forth, and then within a few hours get something up so that the media made an intervention in the discourse that was very powerful. Training went into that without knowing it. Going to large mobilizations like the G20 and RNC last summer, and then well before that, IMF, World Bank things. I'm sort of, when you see like the culmination of a lot of learning come together like that, it feels like a big success.
People who are attracted to it really are building communities and a world that I want to be a part of, and I think that really keeps me energized.
I think one of the things that keeps me going about indie media is that I'm just so pissed off. I think that's probably one of my biggest motivating, you know, forces, is that I'm so pissed off I might as well do something. You know, we feel impotent.
Anytime you pick up the Democrat and Chronicle, say in Rochester, it's inspiring to tell the stories differently, because There's so many inaccuracies, the things that they choose not to cover. This just makes you want to seek truth.
I stayed with Indie Media because it's a great idea. I mean, it's a necessary idea. The basic principles are actually universal. It's the human right, the human need to communicate.